A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following, and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Once he came in blessing, all our sins redressing, came in likeness lowly, Son of God, most holy, bore the cross to save us, hope and freedom gave us. Thus the poet briefly summarizes the purpose and effect of Jesus' incarnation, ministry, death, and resurrection, that is, the first advent of the Son of God. We'll hear about subsequent advents and respond to them over the next three Wednesdays. Today, though, in this first midweek Advent devotion, on this festival of St. Andrew, our focus is on the first advent of our Lord. St. Andrew is a saint of Advent. The Church always begins the Advent observations on the Sunday closest to his day. In some ways, I suppose, that's a coincidence. St. Andrew is said to have been martyred on the 30th of November in the year 60. Historical evidence for that date, though, has more to do with the Church eventually coalescing on celebrating his feast on this date rather than certainty concerning the day on which Andrew was executed for his faith. Whatever the date he gave his final witness to his Lord and Savior, it is a happy coincidence that St. Andrew's festival provides us with the opportunity to hear again the baptizer pointing Andrew and another of his disciples to Jesus as the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And Andrew, having heard Jesus, rejoicing to tell his brother Peter, "We have found the Messiah," and bring him to Jesus. The text today is filled with descriptions and titles of the one who once came in blessing. He is the Lamb of God, the baptizer proclaimed. He is rightly addressed as Rabbi, a teacher of God's word, indeed the most excellent such teacher ever. Having stayed with him for a day, Andrew identifies him as the Messiah, or in Greek, the Christ. He is Jesus. What are we to make of the description, Lamb of God? We might remember the question of Isaac. When Abraham brought him to the land of Moriah to make a sacrifice to the Lord, "My father," Isaac asked, "where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." And the Lord did it. When Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac, as the Lord had commanded him, the Lord prevented him and provided a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns for the sacrifice. We might remember as well the Passover lamb of the Exodus, whose lifeblood painted on the doorposts and the lintels of the homes of the children of Israel enslaved in Egypt, preserved them when the angel of death came through the land that night, killing the firstborn in every home not so protected by the lamb's blood. Here the lamb's life substituted for the life of the firstborn of Israel dwelling in that house. Many other lambs might be considered, but most numerous were the lambs sacrificed as regular burnt offerings to the Lord through the centuries. One offered each morning and one each evening at the tabernacle and then at the temple in Jerusalem over centuries. That raises a question, though. A few minutes ago, I read from Psalm 40, "Sacrifice and offering you have not desired." And you responded, reading the next half of the verse, "Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required." So how does that all fit together? Why so many lambs offered to God at his command, if he neither desired nor required them? And what then of Jesus as the Lamb of God? The day before our text, the baptizer had pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." All of those preceding lambs through the centuries were signs of God's forbearance, his not requiring full and immediate repayment for the debt of the sinner's sin. As we read in Hebrews, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. The same is true for the blood of lambs. It is Jesus alone who could and would finally and fully, once and for all, take away the sin of the world, bearing it in his own body on the cross. This Jesus, identified to the baptizer by the Holy Spirit, truly is Jesus, which means the Lord, Yahweh, saves, for he has saved his people from their sins. Jesus speaks the words of Psalm 40 in a truer way than David or any other king or priest anointed by God ever could. He says, "Behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance in my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation." That is, as Jesus himself expresses it in his nighttime meeting with Nicodemus, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him, might be saved through his taking on the sin of the world, taking it away by his own death on the cross, as the ultimate Lamb of God. He truly is the Messiah, a Hebrew word, the Christ, a Greek one, which means the same thing, which translated into English is the anointed of the Lord. That is, one chosen and set apart by God, blessed with the Holy Spirit to fulfill his appointed work. What is that work? To seek and to save the lost, to crush the serpent's head, to abolish death, and to bring life and immortality to light through the gospel. We might appropriately, on this festival of St. Andrew, jump ahead a week by considering how Andrew's message to his brother Peter was something of an advent of Christ, a coming of Jesus to Peter even before, as John's gospel goes on to report, Peter met his Savior and Rabbi and Lord face to face. But that's just a teaser this evening. There will be much more on our Lord's coming through his word as we gather next Wednesday. Meanwhile, I pray that it will be with you as it was with Andrew and the other disciple. When Jesus saw them following, he asked them, "What are you seeking?" They sought to know where he was staying and followed him there. The Lord bless you to stay with him this week, hearing and reflecting on his word. And in the end, like St. Andrew and St. John, dwelling with him always. The Lord grant you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.